Greetings and welcome to the Information Underground Radio. Today's date is St. Patrick's Day, 2007, 17th of March. Everyone's a little bit Irish today. I'm the Ox. I'm your host for this co-hosting, the Oxter here, and I will shortly be interviewing or co-interviewing ProThink from ProThink.org. Should be an interesting little chat. Time is slightly against us, so we'll get as much into it as we can. We'll be back very shortly, and I should have ProThink on the line. And we're back and we're live, and we have our special, it's a co-interview, I won't say a guest, or call him a guest, because we're wondering who'd be recording. It's ProThink from ProThink.org. Mike, are you with me?
Yes, I am. How are you doing today?
Hey, how are you doing? Paddy's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone.
Yes, yes, and my family definitely comes from an Irish background, so I appreciate it.
With a name like that.
Yeah.
It's the only day of the year the other chosen people aren't the chosen people. We're the chosen people today.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Purim's right around the corner, so...
A couple of days, 3 days away, we're expecting some sort of surprise.
Yeah, it's been pretty standard in history that that's their lovely day to do their crap that they don't pull.
ProThink, I was listening to a bit of your audio this morning when I got up. I downloaded your audio from ProThink.org, and you were talking, I was kind of getting ready to go out for work, so I didn't get to hear the full interview. You were mentioning something about the AIPAC trials. Can you fill us in? What is the latest going on with the AIPAC trials?
Well, basically, we've taken another broomstick up the rear with that whole idea because... for people that listen to my show, we've tried to push support to actually get people to call in to the federal prosecuting attorney in Virginia to show support that we want these criminals prosecuted. And, you know, we were making a reference that if these people got off their hinies and stopped looking for a magic vote system of Ron Paul to save our day and actually put some support towards us, Kevin DeGregory, who was the lead prosecutor, we would have actually had something accomplished, possibly, or had at least better avenue here. Now it turns out that this guy, Kevin DeGregory, who was the head prosecutor in this trial, dropped out and went to go work for this Zionist firm. I don't know the name offhand, but I learned about that from a Zionist Jewish newspaper that was basically bragging about it and then trying to make the point that this case was an old law and it's a BS case, and, you know, it was just a stab in the back, and I can't blame the prosecutor because, quite honestly, there's no telling what they came after this guy and said to him and told him, and he's probably looking around behind him going, oh, there's nobody back here supporting me. I either risk my life for a bunch of people that don't even know what I'm doing here, or I take the easy ticket. So, you know, I blame the people, especially the ones in the truth movement, that turned their back on him. And now this trial, which had FBI investigator, 9/11, people indicted on there, all these dual citizen criminals in this country that were involved in 9/11 were tied up in this case. This case would have opened the door to 9/11, and it had it written all over it. And now who do we got in? We got Zionist Jew McKayzy, Zionist Jew Chertoff running the Homeland Security. This case is just going to get buried now. You know, it's April 29th when it's supposed to go down. I don't really see much. I'd like to be optimistic about things, but I don't really see a lot of hope for this thing right now.
Well, all of a sudden, evidence will go missing, and you know they can't find it, and usual bullshit.
Well, yeah, not only that, but I mean, just to be able to open the doors on this case and let some stuff fly out would have been exceptional because it would have led. It would have just been that much more. Closer to exposing these people, and now they basically got full reins in this case. I don't even know who the other attorneys are in this case, but I'd imagine that that since Kevin was the head prosecutor, that he was the one that was pushing this forward. You know, we do got a lot of people in the American government that are willing to fight this, and it just has to be that the people have to get off their ass and quit BSing about who this criminal network is. You know, I got, it's like you guys were saying, listening to your show earlier, and it's like you say, these people sit here and suck their thumbs off of Alex Jones and all these shills in the movement who don't tell you who these people are.
It's the Luciferians and the New World Order.
Germanic death cults.
Yeah, it's all this bullshit, you know, and then you go look at it and you go, okay, was it any coincidence Alex Jones' wife is Jewish? Is it any coincidence that Dylan Avery and Firmus are Jewish? No, absolutely not. Is it any coincidence that all these crimes over the last 100 years that are very well documented and proven involve a Jewish crime gang? No. So these people, they don't want to admit it because, you know, part of that has to do with the fact that we've had such a stranglehold in America through the movie system, you know, out of Hollywood and the media. You know, it's obvious who owns it, you know, but people just can't fathom sometimes that it's that big, that these people have that much psychological control over our psyche over here. And it does take some time to break those chains. Hopefully we'll break some more chains here before sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what we're trying to do. We both are involved in new forums. You're over at canverse.com/forums, P-H-O-R-U-M, and we're over at infounderground.18.forum or .com, and you can come and there's lots of different things. Some of the articles will be cross-linked between other sites that we both frequent, but it's important to get the message. What's going to take, Mike, to get the American people, the Americans woken up? The stock market crash and that the Zio criminals have already moved to China and back to Israel. I mean, can these people not see that the fifth biggest bank in the U.S., the 11th biggest in the world, Bear Stearns, was worth, you know, $170 a share, and it was sold. Well, they're still speculating on it be sold now for $2 a share, although they were trading at about $3.5 today. I mean, billions and billions wiped out. Do these people not realize that, you know, it is monopoly money? You know that they're, anything they've saved for all their 401k plans and all of this is all going to be wiped out.
Well, I don't think Americans in general are ignorant to the fact that the economy's getting ready to go downhill fast. It already has. It's just they're starting to see it finally. The problem is, and I've tried to analyze what's going to happen with the effects of that. Now, knowing America the way it is right now, we're known for being fat, dumb, happy, and lazy, and greedy, and selfish, and having no morals. And, you know, this is a lot to do with the engineering of the society in this country. But there's going to be two main factions of people in this country that when hard times come, they're going to do two different things aside from some other smaller pockets of people. But you're going to have the pocket of people that are going to want to stand up and fight back, and they're going to want to know what happened. And then you're going to have the pocket of people that are going to be so destitute and in bad times that they're going to beg the same criminals to give them some table scraps. You know, it's, oh, please feed me now, please feed me, you know. That would be a sad sight to see, because they're hoping that hard times will wake these people up in this country. But you got to realize it too, that, you know, these people, there's so much brainwashing going on over here that these people might just lay down and go, oh, you know, take me to a FEMA camp. Oh, let me stand in the soup line, please. You know, instead of standing up and go, who did this shit? We want some heads. You know, and that's what this country was supposed to be about. You know, some Andrew Jackson-style stuff was kill the bank. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was talking to Congress yesterday in an interview, and I said there's two very good options that we can put on a table to save this country from utter destruction, and that would be like a 5-year foreclosure freeze on all business and homes. Not only that, but we basically go tell the Fed Reserve and all these Zionist bankers to go screw off. We don't owe you a dime.
Absolutely. But I mean, that never made sense. You owe $9.4414 trillion officially, and I don't believe that. I believe the number is much higher than that. To the central bank that belongs to the U.S., most people believe that. Most people don't know it's a Jewish-owned private bank. But if it's what you just said is true, screw off. We're not paying you. It's our money. We owe it to ourselves. We're not paying it.
Yeah, and let's not forget that back in the 80s, the Reagan did a Grace Commission where he concluded that you know, the Federal Reserve private owners were getting something like over two trillion a year profit off of our taxes. So quite frankly, it's not that we don't owe them money; they owe us on top of the $9 trillion that they've already indebted to us.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's a beautiful scam, though, the way they're able to send billions and billions to Israel every year, and then Israel sends over hundreds of millions back to the lobbyists that control your politicians.
Well, yeah, the billions we send to Israel, that disgusting filth of a cesspool country. But, yeah, that's just documented funds. I mean,
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Oh, we have a bit of a feedback there.
Go ahead.
We have a terrible feedback there, ProThink. It's on your side.
Let me switch up the headphones here.
Okay.
But, one of the things you got to realize, too, is that Dov Zakheim, who was in control for a while, he's the comptroller, which is the head financial person at the Pentagon. You know, we weren't just giving them billions of just cash, but we're also sending them just buttloads of military planes, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And there we go. We shouldn't get any feedback.
Yeah, that's good. That's good now. No, all but right. I mean the military technology which the Israelis then improve and then sell back. It's amazing. Plus, you know, they get their billions officially. Their 3 billion. They get interest from the very first day, and now they want to be paid in euros.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they know where the currency is at, then, don't they?
Well, I mean, we might as well talk to the crooks. Listen, I mean, people go in, you know, it's the Vatican did it, the Black Pope, and all this nonsense, and the New World Order, and Germanic debt cults, and whatever. But I mean, if you really look into it, a lot of us are coming to the conclusion, or have come to the conclusion, that leading on from time of Rothschild, for the last 300 years, the bankers have taken over basically the whole world. They're basically responsible for all wars, for funding both sides of all wars. They get a particular solution. If we go from World War I, first mentioned the Holocaust in 1919, up to, you know, the Treaty of Versailles, Judea declares war on Germany in 1933. So, you know, people think, you know, Hitler went after everyone. Who declared war on Germany first? And most people don't have a clue about any of this.
Well, yeah, not only that, but people need to realize is that when Germany basically fought back out of all the things they were getting victimized on by this community here, is that at that time, you know, there's a lot of people that are trying to make the relation that United States is turning into Nazi Germany, which I don't see that at all. I see the opposite, because the simple fact is that Nazi Germany, there's a lot of discrepancies in what they did, but at the same time, they had about 40-50% of the world, you know, that was on their side. Whereas the United States right now, there's nobody backing us up. Israel's nobody. They're not nobody to us. They're, you know, that's just another base for this criminal network. But you got to look at the dangers that the United States right now is facing. If it wasn't for U.S. citizens, only 40% of the firearms in the world, we'd be really screwed. That's why, you know, I guess it'd be important for them to take away the firearms. But everybody in the world hates us because our names have been used for these people to be their big dumb goon. You know, they give us a PlayStation, they get us some of their dumb Schindler's List BS crap in the movies and put it on TV, you know, and got us buying it.
But that's gospel, Mike. You have to admit now, Schindler's List, that's gospel now. That's as real as anything, even though the first version came out, it was fiction, pure fiction, which it is. But most people think that, and I'm talking about people in Europe, they think that's exactly what happened. It's amazing, the propaganda.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. I was going to ask you about that, too. What is the consensus in Europe about that? Obviously, they got the laws to say you can't discuss it, but we're in a country, like I was just looking at, they had a report come out of Congress, and they were basically, I got it up on my website, it was saying that they were admitting to the fact that we have a freedom of expression here, and that we can never limit, no matter how offensive the speech is, against Holocaust denial. And they slipped in a word that generally they can't make a law against it. So I think they're leaving a door open to try to do something like that here. But, you know, I noticed in Europe that people get locked up all the time for Holocaust denial. But over in this country, where we're free to talk about it, we don't have a lot of big figurehead people. And I don't understand this, because this is an important event to expose. You know, it'll break down their whole network here. So I've been looking into the Holocaust issue and trying to promote research. Evidence on that very strong right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something, you know, something I've covered on previous shows, you know, going back last year, something I've been studying into for several years. There's too many discrepancies in the story, and it's you know, for me, it's a red flag to go and investigate it. And then I think when you get into it, one of the questions I always ask, I say, follow the money. You know, who paid for, you know, Germany was bankrupt in 1919 after the Treaty of Versailles had their country cut up. The Germans and via the Nazis, through, you know, support from people like Prescott Bush and whatever, they built up in the 20s. There were still, the Germans were starving. 1929 World Depression. So people want me to don't want me to do any more investigation, but they want me to expect that from 1929 to say 1933 World Depression. You also have in 1933 the American Jews putting a worldwide boycott on all German financial and products. Germany had no money. So people, what I want to know is, where did the money come from 1934 to 1939 to give Hitler all the bombs, U-boats, planes, bullets and whatever, and to equip his army? Now, he didn't get that from the German people, and it must have been broke after the Great War and the Depression.
Well, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, one of the things I was wondering, or one of the things I was looking at too, is looking at that financing, because obviously if you look at a video by Jim Conte Jr., he did The Final Solution for Adolf Hitler, and he was exposing a lot of Zionist collaboration into the Nazi movement. Now, there was companies, obviously like Henry Ford, who were big funders of the Nazi Party, so, and I don't think that Henry Ford at any point in time in his life was ever playing on the side of the fence with these guys. So there is a source of funding that looks like legitimate purpose funding. So, but yeah, you're absolutely right. The Zionists did work with the Nazis.
Henry Ford has reported he sent Hitler $50,000 every time on Hitler's birthday. I've come across in my research.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you're absolutely right. The Zionist bankers did fund the Nazi Party in order, because they had the same agenda at the time. They, you know, Germans wanted the Jewish community out, and Zionists wanted the Jewish community to immigrate to Palestine. That's why you had boatloads of Jews going to America. They were turning them back at the time. You know, saying, "Oh, you can't come here. You only can go to Palestine."
I think this is something we want to be very, very careful of here. You know, this overgeneralization. Now, from my research, the German Jews in the 20s and 30s, especially in the 30s, fought back very hard against the Zionists, because they didn't want to go to Palestine, which is a rough place. They were, you know, starting to become model German citizens. I want model, maybe not the right word, but they were starting to get very integrated, and I think this caused the Zionists to really put a push on them.
Yeah, exactly. This kind of, you're absolutely right there, because they had a very prosperous Jewish community in Germany.
Absolutely.
Up until these times.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, in 1921 you had I think 100 from memory 163 private banks in Munich, and 151 of them were Jewish owned. They owned a lot of the bakeries. I mean, they owned a lot of the printing companies and whatever, and they were, you know, very well, they were integrated, even if they were integrated on maybe on a slightly on the money side. But I'm sure a lot of these rich, middle to rich Jewish, German Jews at the time that, you know, made a good living in Germany had no fucking way they were wanting to go to some, you know, bog place that were full of Arabs. That wasn't their plan. But when all of a sudden war is declared, it had very little chance. I mean, imagine someone that had, say, you know, a million Deutschmarks or whatever, he's a successful business and he's Jewish or whatever, and all of a sudden the bombs come down and they're getting you know, put on trains and wherever they're supposed to be going, trying to get them out of there, and you lose your fortune instantly. You have no other choice but to go to Palestine. So I think there was a lot of manipulation of the German Jews and the propaganda that goes on, the Hitler's Final Solution, get rid of all the Jews. I think myself, from my own research, and it's my personal opinion, is Hitler's solution was to get rid of the Jews, but he was talking about the Zionist Jews, the bankers, the people that bankrupted Germany during the Versailles Treaty. I mean, there was over 300 Zionist Jews present, bankers. I'm not talking about cleaners and bus drivers. I'm talking about money men that were involved in the Versailles Peace Treaty in 1919 that carved Germany up. And it took the Germans 10 years to figure out what happened to them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, one of the points in history that we have benefiting us in the United States right now, I always make a point to this, is, you know, when these people, they took over Russia and they basically screwed over Germany and they took over Britain. They're taking over this country. Well, they already have, but, I mean, when they need full control and they're getting ready to do something nuts, they need full control. You know, they take all their puppets out and they get all their men in. You know, they've used their puppets for a long time in this country, but they need their own men in. That's why you see people like Mukasey replacing Alberto Gonzalez. Alberto Gonzalez is just a puppet of theirs. So they want to make sure the job's done right, and that's why they brought back Wolfowitz now as the WMD advisor. All the cards are in place, but we have two big, huge benefits that the American people need to capitalize on, and that's the fact that these people expose themselves now as being dual citizens to a foreign nation. You don't even have to bring in the Zionist or the Jewish question at all into that without just explaining, hey, would you be comfortable if most of this government was dual citizen Chinese? Would you be comfortable if most of them were dual citizen any nation? That's one benefit we have. Another benefit is this beautiful thing called the Internet, man. Wow, this is a point in history right now that with this tool, we have the fight, and they've funded. You know, we can get into the shills and the movement because that is their only defense right now. Is overfunding.
Well, I think we call it for what it is. We call it Internet One because Internet Two is coming, and Internet Two is going to go down. You know, they're going to have automatic filtering on routers and switches that any anti-Semitic in their consideration will automatically be removed, or any sensitive. For example, if people want to criticize the apartheid state of Israel, it'll be automatically censored. This is coming, Internet Two, because anyone thinks that the Zionists are going to give us a free run using Internet One, they're dreaming. Which is up to us now to find ways of networking, whatever. I mentioned on my own show last night with HHQ. I think it's great that we have all these smaller sites coming up that they can't knock out, instead of building up to, you know, one Alex Jones site. I mean, how the hell does Alex Jones get away with 14, 15 years of broadcasting? He talks about microchipping and, you know.
Well, that's the problem. He's not getting away with anything. He's working for him.
Yeah, well, there you go. He's Hollywood Jones.
Yeah, well, and this is there's a lot of people actually that are informed, that actually became informed because they were, you notice a lot of people that are really savvy with computers. Like I'm an IT person, and that's what I did for a career up until recently. But, you know, one of the things that I could say is for you people out there, we could, you still with me there?
Yeah, sure, go ahead, Mike.
Okay. One of the things that I'd like everybody out there to know is when Internet 2 comes out, we will make sure that we will find back doors and ways to run proxies and ways to do encrypted messages. I mean, it will happen where we'll have a lot of these people in the movement that are IT experts, and we'll find back doors to their stuff, you know. And that's one of the things I'll work on as soon as they set that up.
Well, I mean, what I was implying there wasn't, you know, like the anti-Zionist movement we're dealing with. There's going to be millions of people that are going to say, fuck this shit, I ain't being censored. You know, if I want to go and watch an adult site, or I want to go check something, I don't want to be censored. But you know what's coming? Cameras everywhere, you know, cameras all over London. They can't show us one decent 5-second clip of the 7/7 bombing. What's strange is the British and the Irish people are taking, the Americans are taking it, and people aren't revolting. It's amazing.
Oh man, yeah, videotapes.
I think, Mike, if we can get more people on the alternative sites, on the internet, and away from that fucking television. The television has been the biggest broadcasting, their propaganda tool, developed in part by the Nazis, funded by you know who, and the tool really took off in the 50s. And people are just, you know, couch potatoes. I mean, you know more words probably for the people I'm talking about, the MTV generation and all these people that think that nothing's going to change. It's good to see we have a new member, I think we all have a new member, Mike, on our forums, who's a hip-hop artist and very anti-Zionist, anti-powers. And he's releasing a new album. Apparently HHQ is going to be interviewing him Friday, and we're going to be talking about how the hip-hop movement, the music, which isn't my scene, can actually wake some people up to the tyranny going on of the criminal Zionists.
Well, that's actually the movie I'm working on, which I wanted to ask you
about that. I have one of my questions down for you. Mike, how's your video project coming along? Actually, I was very curious. You had it up at the top of your site there for a few weeks ago. I know people were asking me, at least, oh, if Protein's going to do, at least going to go and put in some fucking real shit, not like all these other shill fucking videos. That's been said to me a few times, and we're looking forward to, you know, it doesn't have to be a 2 hour, 3 hours, fits on a DVD and burn it. You know, quick shorts at a point, our documentary, and that names these criminals.
Yeah, my film is going to be geared. It's going to be chapter 1 through 4, chapter 1 being Levon Affair, chapter 2 being the USS Liberty, chapter 3 being 9/11, and chapter 4 exposing the alternative media, which I like to call the 9/11 conspiracy theorists as run by the Zionists. But it's not going to focus on Zionism. It's not going to focus on Jewish at all. What it's going to focus on is Israeli-sponsored terrorism. Because I believe for the average Joe out there, that we're, you know, like I said, in this country, if you even bring up these words to somebody, they automatically got a brain block. But if you can illustrate that a foreign nation has been responsible for this, and then they'll put two and two together after that point, like, oh, well, Israel, the dual citizens in our government, they'll get it then. You know, if you can't get it at that point, you know, that's, but none of these 9/11 films out there discuss this stuff. None of them, obviously. So as far as getting the film done, I was highly motivated to do it at the end of December when my internet was cut off for 2 days, and I got about 20% of the film done in 2 days. And quite honestly, I've been slacking on it, but I've been putting pieces and pieces together. I'm a one-man army over here, and I'm doing activism, and I'm doing interviews. I'm doing, you know, trying to get this film done. I do a lot of other videos, as you guys probably see, but it's just been a very time. Doing a film is a very tedious and time-consuming effort. It's going to be about an hour and a half long now, so.
Okay. It's a lot of work. I've spoken to a guy about it who's involved in video making, and he'd be interested in working on a scenario or something. But for me, it's not this year; it's something maybe next year or something. But I think you'd get a lot of support there, people behind this movie. I think if you can go at it maybe in that way, yes, show that a foreign power I'd spy on you. You know, I suppose you'd be mentioning that famous Fox clip where the Americans are. Or where the Israelis send out all the Americans' bills because they can spy on the IT network, on the IP networks.
Yeah, I haven't even touched on that part of the Fox clip. I just, basically the original Fox clip I put out there, I've re-edited that clip alone 4 times now, and I haven't put the 4th edition on the internet, but I got the first and the second one, and I scrapped the 3rd edition of that. But that's just, like I said, just one section of Chapter 3 that I've put so much time and effort into, because that Fox clip, you know, that's what people got to ask themselves. How come that Fox clip has never been in 9/11 Mysteries, Loose Change, Road to Tyranny, In Plain Sight, you know, all these shill movies out here? None of them will touch that Fox clip. And you see, we all know it's controlled demolitions. Well, you got your controlled demolitions people caught on 9/11. Mm-hmm. What more smoking gun do we need, people? You know, this is a... Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, the more I get fired up to get this film out there because... and I'm going to put it out there for free. It's not going to be, send me $7 and I'm going to pretend to give 5 of it to the first responders and blah, 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 blah.
Typical.
You're not going to see CNN kissing my butt coming to my house rolling out the red carpet playing clips of my film like they did with Loose Change, I'll tell you that.
That's good. So I think you get a lot of encouragement from the rest of currently, as we stand today, the 17th of March, what's our biggest problem in the world as you see it, the biggest, number one?
Fast food. I'm just totally kidding.
No, but if you had to concentrate on one issue, what do you think is the most important? Mine would be getting rid of the Federal Reserve.
Mine would absolutely. Well, quite honestly, I wouldn't consider that, in my opinion, to be an important issue because I view that Fed Reserve is going to collapse anyway, which is why I think that people like Jewish Aaron Russo and Alex Jones, and I mean Jewish in the sense that these people are working for the Zionist cabal, not in the sense of the religious sects, but these people have been allowed to expose the Fed Reserve and want us to focus on it. Well, this Fed Reserve is going out the door regardless. I mean, even if Ron Paul came in there and waved his magic wand, he'd be doing what's already going to happen. The Fed Reserve is going to be shut down. It's going to be closed. It's not going to last any longer. Nobody's going to honor it anymore. So, yeah, getting the Fed Reserve out has to happen, but it's going to happen on its own anyway. So my important thing is to push 9/11 being a Zionist job. That is the ultimate crime of the century. It's got them written all over it, absolutely nonstop provable. And then it shows the morality of these people. Now, see, when you're showing a central banking system, you're just showing that they're greedy and that they're screwing you over. They're taking a couple
financing,
dollars out of your pocket.
Financing every both sides of every war.
Yeah, and it's certainly not a minor misdemeanor crime by any means, but when you can show and illustrate to somebody that these people have the mentality to murder 3,000 people in a country that they've used for their own good for 100 years and stolen money from through their central banking systems and did it through their TV networks throughout the country and bragged about it and spit in everybody's face, you can illustrate that to Americans. That's going to have far more consequences on them than saying, well, they've taken a couple dollars from you. Because if you ask the average American, like I was talking to this lady the other night, in the state I live in, Wisconsin, they're not supposed to charge you a tax on your food, on like normal food products. And she says, yeah, I was at the Walmart and they charged me for tax. And I said, why'd you pay it? She said, well, I don't have time. You know, Americans are really just, they don't care. There's a couple bucks here and there. It's the happy-go-lucky times. They're not really paying. But if you illustrate to them, these people murdered on live television with their own TV networks, with their own entrenched people in our government, and spit in our face, you know. First they used the original theory that Al-Qaeda and some Arab and Muslims did it. Then they came in with their alternative movements trying to put it on Bush, Cheney, CIA, U.S. government. And I mean, come on, if you brought that to the Americans, see, the problem is that they have done such a good job of muddying up the waters in our 9/11 movements that you know, a lot of people out there, you think the U.S. government, Bush did it. You try to explain it to people. They've done such a good job at trying to suppress the information for that coming. That's their new Holocaust, you know. You're a 9/11 denier. You're a Holocaust denier, you know. Once you get that through people, and I tell you what, I've had two key issues that have been great at explaining what 9/11 was. The first one being is you expose the USS Liberty event. You expose exactly what that was supposed to be about, because that's exactly what 9/11 was, except they were successful. And you go, okay, now look at the key people that were in government. And you break down Cherkov, and that opens the door right there. Like, oh, do you think that it's funny that Mossad agents were caught and Chertoff's from Israel and let them go? Do you think it's funny that they're dressed up as Arabs? Do you think it's funny that they had, you already know that it was controlled demolition. Look at Building 7, and these guys were controlled demolition experts. So that's the two key things that I've had a really good success at explaining to average Joe on the street of what 9/11 was. You know, and you hit them below the belt with, hey, we got to support our troops, the USS Liberty troops. They've been screaming. They've been trying to get the story out for, 25 years of the 40. They didn't come out until 1982 with the story. But, you know, say, hey, these are our troops. They're being screwed. Just listen to James Ennis. You know, I did an interview with John Rankowski. Listen to these guys. You know, how can we just disrespect our troops by not getting their story out here, you know, and not getting them some justice? And then you go and say, well, this is what happened on 9/11. It's the same thing. So
I think you mentioned earlier on, it's this head blocks the minute Israel or Israelis or Jews or Zionists come. I think, no, if you mention the Zionist, people are not won't automatically jump to it. But if you mention Israel, it's just the block goes up straight away. The programming is one of the most difficult things we have to break, because you know, the Holocaust will eventually come up at some stage, and that turns people straight off because it's a no-go area. They've been brainwashed, and it's 6 million, and you know, the Jews suffered, and they have to be, Germany has to give them money for the next 14 centuries, or I don't know how long they're going to pull this one off. A lot of people are saying, I was reading, a guy came onto our forums the other day, a new guy, an English guy, and he said, when is Israel going to pay us reparations? He said, pay them to my father, my grandfather, that went over to Germany and liberated your asses. And, you know, a lot of them died. He said, when are they going to get paid? Or, you know, when are the Palestinians? I mean, the Palestinians had no part in World War II, didn't harm any of the 6 million. And yet they're being genocided and holocausted as we speak.
Well, you know, like I was saying earlier, in America, we're still able to discuss the Holocaust over here. And I think what seriously needs to be done is some Americans that know this Holocaust is a fraud, you know, the official story, I should say, need to grow some balls, hit the streets with some signs and banners. The same way they do with Ron Paul banners hitting the streets,
yeah,
we need to hit the streets and throw it in their face. The 6 million figure is a lie. You know, and we need. I'm seriously considering when it gets a little warmer out in my area, getting a group of people. We're going to just throw it in their face. Hey, this is the truth. We shouldn't be scared to talk about it. Where's the home of the home of the brave, land of the free, land of the free, home of the brave here? You know, it's land of the coward, home of the slave. You know, let's get out here and throw this in their face. You got a problem with it? Let's talk about it. Let's figure out why this number doesn't add up and why it's so important and why I say this and why I took the time to stand out in the streets and tell you about it. You know, this is, we need to, just like we do with 9/11 activism, just like we do impeach Bush and Cheney, just like we do about the war. We look at discrepancies throughout current events in history and we go speak it out in the streets. And that's what I'm saying, Americans that know this stuff, that are in this country, we are one of the last countries that we are able to speak about this stuff. And we need to do that. We need to hit streets with this. I mean, that's an innovative idea.
Let me just ask you about that, Mike. I mean, we have, if you go to prothings.org, you'll see some of Mike's video from YouTube where you're out bullhorning different people. What sort of reaction have you been getting from people? I mean, I'm not talking about giving out flyers, but I mean, what are people saying to you? Are people saying you're a nut or that's good? And are people asking sort of questions? What happens?
Well, since my Alex Jones days, I've heavily refined my tactics of public appearances, and this is why I've even noticed We Are Change is starting to reform their stuff, because I've been a heavy critic on the way they just heckle people and run out, look like buffoons, and they have noticed they've been putting on suits.
I thought they looked like the gay movement or something. They look very, two guys are walking in twos going down, very suspicious. I don't know, is there something? But I was contacted last week, there's a new treaty being called the Lisbon Treaty, Lisbon Portugal treaty to be signed in May in Ireland, and it's basically handing over all the Irish people's rights to Europe, which is, you know, run by the same people. And these guys, I was asked by another administrator to you know, get the word out, put it up on a torrent, and they have a Google video, and I forget the name of the movie, but it's We Are Change, or the sponsors at the beginning, and I found it very funny. They wanted to get out on people get the word out, and yet they won't let it be downloadable from Google. So I mean, I mentioned a show my show last night. I found a software, an excellent little piece of software called Orbit, ORBIT Downloader. And if you go to any Google, or you have this little application called Grabbit running in the background. And if you go to any Google or any of these video download sites, especially YouTube, before it gets censored, you can actually pull it down fairly quickly.
Yeah, it's got a little arrow at the top of the video. If you got that thing running in the back, I actually use that myself. It's a good piece of software.
Good piece of software. Because, I mean, I mentioned it to you on your forums there last week that you'd posted a video, and you'd only posted about 15 minutes, and when I went to have a look at it, it was already removed.
Yep, exactly. And I got a bad habit of seeing a good video and not downloading it myself. And that's what I did. I did a tutorial. One of my articles on my site is a tutorial of how to download a complete website with a free software called WinHT. But yeah, I wanted to touch a little bit back on the activism part of this, because strong activism will absolutely damage these people. Idiotic activism will help them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
You know, it's a crap throw. You can either win or lose, but going out there and being active is very important, and we've lost a lot of that because, like I said, they've muddied up the waters. But if you look at some of the videos where I'm out there, there's some people that are not in agreement with bullhorning, but I tell you what, we don't have a radio station or any other kind of venue that we can speak out loudly. So bullhorning, it is an effective thing. I actually have a video I haven't even put up yet. It was from early January. I went down to downtown Milwaukee and I bullhorned lunchtime on a Monday, and it was about 2 degrees outside, so it was really cold. But I stood out there for about a half hour and I bullhorned all these topics about Chertoff, the APEC lobby coming up, and I didn't have anybody, which I'll get that video up so people can see it, but I didn't have anybody you know, call me a buffoon or nothing like that. I actually had a lady that was standing out having a smoke break from her work, and got really curious and asked, what can we do about this? And I explained to her, while I was still on a bullhorn, what we need to do. And I said, we need to inform each other. We need to, you know, need to get educated. And then we need to bond together to fight this, you know, this network of people here. So I had have positive outcomes, you know. With the Giuliani thing, that was more or less a yelling match at Giuliani. And like I said, that was at my tail end of my
Alex Jones
days. Yeah, exactly. So, but that was what woke me up to the We Are Change and Alex Jones things, like, completely. That's when I was finally sold at that point that these people were absolute shills, because I noticed that, Luke Radowski and these guys out of New York We Are Change used to love jumping all over anybody that talked that got at Giuliani. Anybody. If you got at Giuliani, man, they were throwing you up on the homepage. Yeah, Alex would get you on a radio show. And I had a complete blackout of my video. And you know why? Because I said, you know, I told Giuliani, I said, you and your Zionist friends are not going to get away with this. And I told him, you're Chertoff and the Mossad agents. I was bringing up all these hardcore issues that they never talk about in public. You know, Alex talks about it on his radio show. Yeah. What good does that do? He's not on the street. You guys aren't telling anybody on the street new. Mm-hmm. You know, you're preaching to the choir. Of course you're going to talk to the choir and try to get their ability.
That's what I understood a year ago about that We Are Change. Is it was a conduit to go to Alex Jones, InfoWars, and his Prison Planet, and, you know, avoid the, you know, German debt cults and all the other nonsense that waste a year or 2 years of their time.
Yeah, it's about what they wasted of mine on top of thousands of dollars, because, you know, I went to, I pretty much went all over the country to the events like the Neocon Conference and the Chicago Conference and Ground Zero for 2 years in a row on 9/11. So, yeah, I was. That's why I've been such a heavy critic on that whole crew once I finally realized who they were. And, you know, people give me, oh, just you need to stop fighting with them, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I'm cleaning up house. We need to get the trash out of our house so we can fight the real criminals. You know, because that's the problem. We got a lot of people in here that are not the greatest critical thinkers in the movement, and they follow anything. And we can start exposing the trash inside of our house. We can start cleaning up outside of our house. So that's why I've always been a pretty heavy-handed when it comes down to anybody that I view as a shill.
Mm-hmm. And there's quite a few of them.
It's like 90% of them at least. 90% of these people are bought and paid for or work for them.
And useful idiots, a lot of them. I mean, if we take this 9/11, which, you know, automatically forwarded onto the Ron Paul movement, I mean, I just find it hard to believe that people thought that Ron Paul. And I mean, Ron Paul, now that he's not going to be going for president, he could do some good and give more speeches. But I don't think anyone's going to listen to him now. He's out and gone. But there's a thing I mentioned to you offline was. There's going to be people asking questions. You know, Ron Paul obviously let them down, didn't go for a recount. You know, he had $30 million and he didn't use barely any of it. A lot of these are going to fall into our different forums, and some of them will pick up on Darrell Bradford Smith on I Am the Witness and different people. What are you actually talking about? The talking heads that we have, Boleyn, Hufschmidt, and Darrell Bradford Smith. I know you've had contact with all of them. What do you make of the three of them?
Ah, that's a tough one, because
calling you on it.
I'm gonna use an analogy. I'm playing Switzerland between Hufschmidt and Darrell Bradford Smith, because I like the work from both of them. I do have two personal discrepancies with each one of them, and I'm trying to sort this. I'm trying to get to the bottom of the Boleyn issue, which is what split the two up. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking into that. So right now, as it stands, I support the work that both of them do, about 98% on each side. And, you know, it's important for both of their message to get out there as far as I'm concerned. Now, behind the scenes, you know, I talk to each one of them, and I bring up some of the issues and the discrepancies between two of them. And I make it very clear, and I will say this publicly about both of them, is that they need to get off each other's backs. They need to ignore each other at the very least. And that's something that even a lot of their listeners that either took one of their sides too will say, you know, that we need to get the message out and quit muddying up, because they both got an excellent amount of information.
Yeah.
It's just... you know, calling each other Zionist and all this crap.
Agents, making videos about it.
Yeah, I don't see that. I really don't. And I might change my mind. I might, you know, next week I might look at something a little more differently, and I might view it. And this is what this is all about. All of us are in a learning process. We're all students. We're all evolving. I'm looking at it. I'm not jumping to any side of the fence on both of them, like I said. I'd like to see them both squash it, and then if it does come out later, that I look at one of them and go, well, you know, I have, you know, it's like I said, I have discrepancies with both of them, and those issues I did address to them, and I'm still out to lunch on saying that either one of them are dirty by any means. I think they both, like I said, got excellent work. Now, Bolin, this is another thing with the AFP camp. You know, I got attacked by Mark Glenn and Mike Piper recently, and I got the transcript of it is up on Converse's forum. That the shill video I made, which basically attacked the Alex Jones, Aaron Russo, Ron Paul, Loose Change camp. But a clip I used was one of the last interviews Bolin did when he was free. It was with Daryl Bradford Smith, and they were talking about how Mark Glenn tried to put the blame off on the USS Liberty event. And it's the same thing Alex Jones did in Terror Storm, which is absolutely disgusting because both of them know that that wasn't the case. But Mark Glenn writes me an email basically in... I go, okay, you know, I'll give you guys the benefit of the doubt. Even though Eric and Daryl called you guys shills from the beginning, I gave them a benefit of the doubt for about 1 minute, and then I looked at Eustace Mullins, who they screwed over too, and I said, you know, Eustace Mullins has something negative to say. As far as I'm concerned, he's the litmus test on whether or not you're dirty, you know, and he's not really a confrontational guy by any means, but even he had problems with them, so... You know, that's kind of where I stand on as far as the AFP camp go.
I support Daryl, openly support Daryl. Eric, I have my reservations, as I think I'll stick to what you said there once the information gets out. Bolin, I don't trust. There's something odd, this Estonia coming up in 9/11, and I still haven't figured out, I mean, I know what the Estonia is all about. He keeps pulling it up in his article, something very odd went on. You know, we've all read the details of what happened when he went to see Daryl in France and whatever. I don't pay too much attention to that, but from his own site at the moment, it's not one I would recommend.
No, I certainly wouldn't recommend his site post his disappearance, whether or not some people call it a kidnapping or not. The work after his disappearance I absolutely do not support. I do not even pay attention to, I won't link to, or nothing like that. There is some obvious reference points that, like Piper and Emmett brought up, you know, that he was married to an Israeli the first time, and
yep,
he lived in Israel, and he happened to be in New York on 9/11, and issues like that. But, I mean, let's face it, you know, well, the same could go that, yeah, the criminals need to be in lead of the investigation, and maybe on a higher level, you know, this is what these people were doing, is that they were exposing enough to gain the people that didn't buy into the Alex Jones camp. But... that's why I always support the message and not the messenger. Now, I do put out the fact that I believe that Bolin is kidnapped, but at the same time, I still want people to look at his old work. Look at the message that Bolin put out, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because that's very, you know, a lot of his old work is important for people to understand.
Well, the old ego messaging system and et cetera. Yeah, I understand. But for me, you know, they're... the best shows I've heard recently that millions of people should hear is Mohammed Rafik on with DBS. Absolutely, some must hear, some choice audios. You can get them from imthewitness.com. Just do a search under people's name, and you'll find Mohammed Rafik. But I think that there's we're part of the new bunch coming up. There's lots of forums coming up. People are blogging more and more. I don't think we're alone in this movement, and we can't all be wrong. I mean, it's not that I... sorry about that, buzzing was interrupted by telephone. As I said to you earlier, so I'm a little bit caught for time this evening. I need to go do a little bit of work. Not that the money is for money or anything, but I said I'd help out a buddy with his computer system and viruses and whatever. I think we talked about quite a few things. I think this is going to be an ongoing conversation, Pro Think. It'd be good to get a converse on. HHQ will become on. I think this cross-networking, with you know, keeping our own identities... I don't want to be part of any, you know, we are change bullshit. Not my style at all. Avoid these sort of thing. I did 3 years on a big Conspiracy Central tracker as an administrator. A lot of work, and I'm not looking forward to having a forum with 60,000 people and you with agents and bullshit artists and idiots. And you have to police them. I would say for our own forums, which is http://info.underground.18.forumer.com. when you come by, come and say hello. We like nice to know who's in the home. Even if you just want to come by and read, you can always drop a sign and say, you know, I heard you on the radio, or I read a blog somewhere and I came over, or just over to support. A lot of people have come over from wakeupfromyourslumber.com as support. But we're also a backup forum. These people aren't going to let us away, and we're building our forums around the place. Canverse's forum is khanverse.com/phorum forum. ProThink, your site, give us some more details about you. You got a new Skype number that people can call you at any time, I read today. Any other information you'd like to give us?
I have a link to Converse's forum up there. Also, what I'll do is when we get this audio file finished, I'll post it on my site, and I'll post a link to your forum so that people can click there. My site, obviously, is prothink.org, and I have recently, as of last night, actually, purchased a Skype phone number so that anybody that ever feels free, they want to contact me, and my Skype happens to be on. I'm more than willing to talk to anybody, whether it want to be a one-on-one debate on an issue, whether it be a one-on-one about maybe some new issues want to bring up. You know, I want to put my feelers out there with people so that they can know who I am. I'm at a point where I always will stay public. I'll always be out there in public. That's why my full name's out there. You know, I'm not ever going to hide behind anything. There's a lot. My past, whatever. That's always going to be public. So, yeah, that phone number is at the top of prothink.org, and it's area code 414-455-6606. And like I said, go ahead and feel free to call that.
Okay, ProThink, listen, sorry the time is so short. A lot of issues going on. I think I'll get this converted over to MP3 and I'll zip it over to you, and we'll post it. It'll be turned to the mega upload and direct download from your site. I'll organize that in the next hour or so when I come back to my job. I'll send it on. Thank you very much for coming on. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, same to you. Thank you very much.